Good morning and welcome to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host. And today the business at hand is the business of helping the more than or the almost quarter of a million women annually in the U.S. that are estimated to be diagnosed with invasive cancer, breast cancer specifically, to have a good outcome, a good rehabilitation, to have quality of life, hopefully as they knew it before. It's a very large number of women that will be diagnosed annually with breast cancer. And one rehabilitation group is doing an outstanding job in helping women to get back on track. And that group is the Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center, located in North Metro Atlanta in Sandy Springs. And I'm very pleased to have as my guest the executive director, a physical therapist, and a cancer survivor, Jill Binkley. Jill, welcome to the Business Hour.
Thank you so much, Ron. It's great to be here.
Jill, why don't we start out with that typical question? And actually, it won't be that that most typical question about what the Turning Point Cancer Rehabilitation Center does, but rather, I don't think a lot of people are aware of the need of the value, oftentimes, of rehabilitation post breast cancer procedures, but there's a big need. I mean, you pointed out to me the analogy with other orthopedic injuries and the rehabilitation process. Tell us about why it is that women and even a very small percentage of men can benefit from post breast cancer procedure rehabilitation.
When mostly women go through breast cancer surgery, there's a lot of impact on their anatomy, their range of motion, their function. Again, just like you would expect if you had shoulder surgery, in the orthopedic world, it's very common to be referred to physical therapy after surgery. We just don't see it in the oncology or the cancer world very much. There's a number of us, including Turning Point, that are advocating that all women be referred to physical therapy after their breast cancer surgery. It's a slow process. We've made some headway in the greater Atlanta area with the work we do. But we also are very involved in advocating nationally and internationally for this to happen. It's a problem not just in Atlanta, but around the United States and indeed around the world. Most women, probably only about 10% of women or less, are referred for rehabilitation after their breast cancer surgery. Your question of why this happens, we've looked at this a lot because in order to really break down those barriers, you have to really analyze what's going on. And part of it is in the orthopedic world, it's just part of what orthopedic surgeons do. They do their surgery and we bring the patient along and return them to full function. In the oncology world, those close relationships between rehab and an oncologist or a radiation oncologist, a plastic surgeon, those close relationships don't exist. We also, when you talk to women, and there's a lot of studies that have been done about this, women tend not to want to sound like they're complaining about their problems. Our doctors are saving our lives, and we really don't want to complain, well, you know, I can't lift up my baby, I can't get back to tennis. It sounds a little bit whiny when someone's saving your life, and I agree, and it's important to remember that our doctors are saving our lives. What we're trying to add to that is that piece at the end to allow women to get back to, again, their full function and their usual quality of life, or in some cases, even better quality of life after their breast cancer.
In fact, I don't think that most people envision the range of musculature that's affected, you know, and certainly depending upon the procedure, it could be varying degrees of affecting the musculature of a woman or a man, but particularly women, and by the way, we should clarify that it's 1 in 1,000 men that is reported to experience breast cancer. So it's overwhelmingly a condition that women have versus men, the breast cancer and procedures related to breast cancer treatment. But you do a lot of things with your upper body. And you pointed out to me the analogy you actually gave, the specific analogy was, you know, if you have a knee injury, you know, you absolutely will say to your orthopedist, I can't walk the way I used to walk. I can't play tennis the way I used to play. I can't go upstairs the way I used to. And there's a whole range of upper body motion that would warrant rehabilitation and physical therapy. And I'm wondering, when did you become aware of the void? What was the earliest? What were the earliest stages of you realizing? Was it personal?
It was personal. I went through breast cancer myself when I was 42, and in 2000, I think I just told my age. That's fine. When I went through it, I'd been a physical therapist for, at that point, 20 years, dealing with orthopedic kinds of conditions, sports injuries, shoulder, hip, back, and knee problems, and so on. And when I went through it myself, I was quite shocked at the impact on my upper body function. In my case, I had some reconstruction, which also in some cases affects your back or your abdominal area, depending on the type of reconstruction. And what I was shocked with was the void, that no one suggested physical therapy at that point. It wasn't addressed. Again, my doctor saved my life, which is absolutely wonderful, but really realized the role that physical therapy could play for women going through breast cancer through my own experience. When you add on radiation, which also changes the connective tissue, the tissues of the body, the soft tissues, and the effects of chemotherapy, those adjunct treatments only magnify the issues in many cases. So as I sort of bumped through my course of treatment and tried to figure out as a physical therapist what I needed to do to get back to my usual function and get back to exercising and sports and being an active person, that's when I sort of began to think about and began to read about some of the impact of breast cancer. When you look at the medical research and the medical literature, I realize that it wasn't just me. This is pretty well documented in the research that women do have these issues. We know that women, one research study that came out a couple of years ago showed that women, if you look at a group of women who are breast cancer survivors, even 6 years after their surgery, six or more years, almost all of them have problems that are ongoing issues related to their breast cancer treatment. So I first realized from my own experience, then looked at the literature and realized that it wasn't just me. This was a pretty common problem. But then again, when you look at the number of women being referred to help care for these issues, again, less than probably 5 or 10% are referred for treatment of these issues.
So what did you have to do, Jill? And by the way, were you a physical therapist prior?
I was. I'd been a physical therapist for many years prior to that.
So you had some sense of what you might be able to do for yourself, but were there rehabilitation and physical therapy sources of support that you could turn to, and then you, in essence, piece together your own physical therapy program?
There was no specific care for women going through breast cancer treatment at that time in the greater Atlanta area. Several of our big hospitals have lymphedema clinics, which lymphedema is a swelling of the arm that's sometimes associated with breast cancer treatment. But those clinics were taking care of specifically that one problem, not specific to breast cancer. But there was really no one addressing getting your range of motion back, getting back to exercise, including the lymphedema issue. So there was really a void there. The way I dealt with it was, again, putting my physical therapy hat on, tried to figure out what I needed to do for myself. I would ask physical therapy colleagues, you know, can you give me a hand with my range of motion at different points during surgery and after radiation? And we kind of pieced together a program for me, but realized that other women wouldn't have access to that.
Now, one of the values of this program, and we certainly don't always get a chance to talk to someone who has started up an organization that is relatively, if not distinctly, unique. But there may be listeners out there suffering from a condition totally unrelated, or even a physician, a nurse practitioner, a therapist, physical, psychological, that has recognized a void in their area of expertise and would be fascinated to know what the next few steps were for you. Because I have noticed you can go to the website, and by the way, if you go to www.myturningpoint.org or just Google Turning Point, I think it'll get you to Turning Point Cancer Rehabilitation, Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center. But, Joe, you have assembled a group of highly skilled staff people on the physical therapy side, and your medical advisory board are eminently qualified to support you in this area. So what were the next few steps? Once you recognized the void, how did you begin? Who were the next couple of people you tapped to say, hey, could you help with this endeavor?
The first step was to set ourselves up, set myself up as a clinic, and started to try to get the word out that we would be specializing in the breast cancer rehabilitation field. A good friend of mine, who is an occupational therapist and is the owner of Comprehensive Therapy Solutions in Atlanta, lost her mother to breast cancer and had a passion for what we do and basically gave us space to get started. We were there 2 days a week. So there was really no budget to begin with. It was truly a labor of love. As word got out and we went and literally pounded the pavement and told doctors and oncologists about what we were doing, we gradually became more busy. At the same time, as being incorporated was the first step, but then really believed strongly that we needed to be a nonprofit. And my vision with being a nonprofit was that if there was a void for women in the greater Atlanta area, and then on top of that, the financial aspect of care was a barrier, that there was no one going to be available to see those women. So I had an idea that this was something that donors and grant agencies would support. And in fact, over the years, we found that, yes, they do support this. And so we became a nonprofit. So that early year or so was me seeing occasional patients, very, very low volume, probably two or three new women a month, becoming a nonprofit, and really, to be honest, gathering a few friends together to be our board of directors initially.
And pretty much in the early stages, you wanted this to be accessible to a broad range of women and not have the financial aspect of treatment be as much of a barrier as it might otherwise have been if you were not a nonprofit?
Exactly. For example, we do bill health insurance for physical therapy care, but we have many programs and many areas of our service are free of charge or at a reduced fee, and we also have a financial assistance program. So for women who are uninsured or underinsured, we still take care of them, and we work with them to make sure that the financial aspect is not a barrier to their care.
Jill, we're going to drill down into some of the range of services that the Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center offers, but we're going to take a break here. We're with Jill Binkley, the Executive Director of Turning Point, and we'll be back with Jill right after this break.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Do your children know where their food comes from? At ConnectingFarmToFork.com, there's all kinds of ways to help your child understand how 300 million of us here in America stay nourished, clothed, and healthy. Activities, food facts, and farm visits help young people learn about America's hardworking farmers and have lots of fun doing it. Visit ConnectingFarmToFork.com today for a learning experience that'll really grow on you. ConnectingFarmToFork.com. Brought to you by the people who care at Feedstuffs Food Link.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
Hi, I'm Paisley McDonald, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my show, At Home with Paisley, every week, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, for practical advice and stylish living for your home and office.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Jill Binkley, the executive director, a physical therapist, and a breast cancer survivor with Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center located in North Metro Atlanta, and a organization that is somewhat unique, if not very unique, in the range of services it offers. There may have been clinics over the last 10 years that have developed along similar lines, but are you aware of many clinics that are like you?
I'm really not aware of clinics that are offering a comprehensive range of services all under one roof in a nonprofit environment where there is financial assistance, and it includes the exercise piece, the therapy piece, the counseling, and so on. I'm really not aware, and I think at this point I probably would be aware. That doesn't mean to say there aren't excellent programs that offer certain aspects of the care that we do.
That leads me to this question. Are you finding, even though you focus on the Metro Atlanta area, and we're talking, 5.5 million people, you could focus strictly on the metro area for years on out. Are there women coming from further afield, other parts of Georgia, even out of state?
We've had a few women from the Carolinas, not many, but a few. We've had women from pretty much all over Georgia. And in those cases, of course, with such a distance, we can tailor their care to give them education, give them a home program, support them from a distance, and also try to match when they come back and for return appointments around their schedule. So we are seeing women from further afield, and certainly on a day-to-day basis see women from as far south as the airport, as far north as Dahlonega, and so on. So that's not an unusual situation.
My guess is that until this void is filled in a lot of other parts of the country, that you'll begin to see, and this very program may help to educate women around the Southeast and the nation about the services available from Turning Point, and that until, again, that void is filled in other, particularly metro markets, you may be seeing patients from much further away. How did the range of services evolve, Jill? Did it happen from day one that you had this comprehensive view of which services you chose to offer, from physical to psychological, or did it evolve more organically?
I would say it evolved more organically, and to be honest with you, as finances allowed. The first thing that we offered was physical therapy. That's my area of expertise. But soon after we began, we offered massage therapy. Our first employee, Renee Vaughn, who is still with us as our administrator, is a massage therapist, and she and I worked side by side. Then as we moved forward, we continued to offer more massage therapy care, as well as we have a dietitian on staff and a social worker doing counseling on staff and support groups. It really evolved, different programs evolved related to both my own personal experience. But then as we began to see more women, we would start, as we talked to them, to realize that there was other gaps in their care. And an example would be weight gain is a very significant concern for many women, particularly those going through chemotherapy. It's very common for women, about 65% of women going through chemo have significant weight gain over 20 pounds. Kind of counterintuitive what you might think with chemotherapy. And so, for example, to include both a dietitian on staff as well as the exercise piece through our physical therapy programs makes perfect sense for women who are trying to manage their weight. And the same thing as we talk to women about who, for example, who have metastatic breast cancer or stage 4 breast cancer, we'd realize that they had special needs and we have a support group for them and we have special massage therapy programs and complementary care for those women. And that truly was organic, talking to women, realizing where gaps existed, changing our programs up as we got feedback about them.
And walk me through the process of maybe even sharing a specific question or two, evaluating a patient's treatment, because I'm relatively certain there isn't a cookie-cutter approach to treatment for each patient. It's got to be different. It's got to be customized. How do you determine whether or not one of the first sessions might be massage or counseling?
Just the way we have evolved, all of our patients first would see a physical therapist, and there's not a particular reason for that except someone needs to go through all of the medical history and intake and that kind of thing. And so really our physical therapists are kind of like a gatekeeper, if you will, and at that point then would make suggestions as far as what other services may be a benefit to the patient. Obviously, we all work together, so we're literally in the same room and can discuss that among our professional staff. But the physical therapist would see the patient first, evaluate, for example, look at what functional limitations a woman might have, where they are in their breast cancer treatment, how far postoperatively they are, if they're going to have other or already have had other treatment, such as radiation and chemotherapy. They would also think about risk factors for some of the side effects of treatment going forward. For example, whether a woman is at risk for lymphedema, that may change their plan of care in terms of what they might be talking to a woman, educating a woman about. So all of those questions would be part of that initial evaluation. The other part of the initial evaluation is really seeing what a woman wants to be doing after. And it's really common for us to see women who are having difficulty. I mentioned the example of difficulty lifting their baby, difficulty doing their regular job or getting back to their regular sports. So that's an important part as well in terms of finding out what women really want to be getting back to after their breast cancer treatment, and really trying to encourage and work our treatments around that. The other part and big piece that we play is educating women about exercise in general. A study came out of Harvard about 4 years ago now, 4 to 5 years ago, and it showed that women who exercise regularly have a really significant reduction in their recurrence rate. And so we really talk to women about exercise in general. So all of that would happen on that first time or two that we're with them. And then from there, again, adding massage therapy, seeing our counselor, coming to one of our monthly education events, it all pieces together to try to, again, provide this comprehensive care for women going through their breast cancer treatment.
Now, it wouldn't be the first time in this program that I made a reference to the interrelationship of any one body part with any other body part, muscle group, in this case, a skeletal muscle function. But I think I might have been a fifth grader when I heard that the hip bone was connected to the thigh bone and immediately knew that meant that there was an interrelationship functionally. And, you know, when you stop to think about some breast cancer surgeries, you have the large pectoral muscle group, and it's connected to other muscles in the upper body. So you have your arms, and you have upper body functionality. I would imagine that in some cases, just from strain alone, there could come pain. But I hadn't really thought about any pain associated. Is there oftentimes pain that women are experiencing, and that through strengthening and toning, you're helping them to avoid that pain?
Absolutely. Pain is one of the major considerations early, especially early postoperatively. But some women have more chronic pain, even months and even years after their breast cancer treatment. So we absolutely do address pain typically in that first few visits. It's often related, as you said, to surgery. Muscles are affected, joints are affected. You use the example of the pectoral muscle. Yes, it's attached to the chest, but it also moves our arm. And so impact on that can have significant impact on arm function. With some of the surgeries, mastectomy, and some of the reconstructive surgeries that involve back muscles and abdominal muscles, we see in many of our women the effect of the surgery on their core strength, their ability to do some more major functions with their core muscles. So we always are addressing not only upper limb, upper extremity, but also neck, back, and core muscles. An example of one of the programs that we do, and again, a response for how much need we saw in our patients, we have a weekly Pilates class, which is paid through grants and donors, and we have a huge following for that class. It's very active. It's taught by Lauren Bober, one of our physical therapists who's a Pilates instructor. So these women are being cared for in the class. The class allows them to interact with each other, share stories and experiences, but it's also with an instructor who really truly understands the impact of breast cancer surgery and radiation and other treatment, and is also a Pilates expert. So we've really tried to look again at what women need and provide really excellent care and programs for them.
Let's now just offer an overview of the services, and I will say that I know from what I've learned primarily on your website is that you do offer massage therapy services, you do offer counseling services, you offer nutritional services, and you have educational programs. Let's start with massage therapy and share a little bit about what you do massage therapy-wise?
Massage can be a benefit for anyone at any point during and after their breast cancer treatment. We have four really, truly excellent massage therapists who work as a team. They are specially trained in the oncology area and understand all of the surgeries and the effects and side effects of treatment. So women can come to a massage therapist at Turning Point who really understands what they're going through and won't be surprised with any of the cosmetic side effects of treatment, which can be an issue out in the big world when people don't know the kinds of effects of treatment and the cosmetic effects. When someone comes for massage therapy, it will be tailored to their unique needs and where they are in their stage of their process of breast cancer. It can certainly help in a lot of different areas, including general stress relief. It's a huge impact to be diagnosed with breast cancer. So being in a safe place and receiving something like a massage can be just a huge positive, both emotionally and physically, for women.
Jill, we're going to be taking a break here, but when we come back, I'm going to have a question for you related to massage therapy, and we'll talk more about the additional services that you offer to patients. We're here with Jill Binkley, the executive director, the founder, a cancer survivor, and a physical therapist with Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center. We'll be back with Jill right after this break.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, It seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com. Have you checked out the only online guide where employers, health plans, brokers, and consultants can navigate private exchange and defined contribution markets? Browse PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com today. The emergence of private health insurance exchanges represents perhaps the most significant shift in how Americans purchase health benefits in years. As employers move their employee population into private exchanges, this trend is on a growth projection into the 2015 benefit year and beyond, according to research published by Allegis Technologies. Visit PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com today to browse our national searchable directory and for Healthcare Exchange Solutions magazine and newsletter. Be sure to submit your listing for inclusion in this groundbreaking guide at www.PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com. That's www.PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host, and we're here with Jill Binkley, the executive director, a physical therapist, a breast cancer survivor, and the founder of Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center, located here in North Metro Atlanta, but serving all of Metro Atlanta, the state of Georgia, and the Southeast, and in all likelihood, points beyond in the future, simply because we have determined that the Turning Point Center is unique and filling a void for women who are breast cancer survivors. There isn't the range of services, and we alluded to those range of services before the break: massage therapy services, counseling services, nutritional services, educational programs. And we're focusing for just a moment on massage therapy. And while we were off the air, Joe, I shared with you that I personally see that massage therapy can have benefits that not only aid in the healing and in strengthening and in toning of muscles, but with benefits to rejuvenating the skin, the muscles, the ligaments, and the cartilage and the skeletal system and the lymphatic system, just by manipulation of those body parts, I can imagine that there are benefits that go even beyond, sort of overall well-being, which people who get regular massages know this. They just feel better. Soreness that comes from muscle strain or specific activities are mitigated. But my guess is that your massage therapy helps not only with breast cancer rehabilitation, but has multiple benefits. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, Ron. There's no question that there's many benefits of massage therapy that we know about, and probably many we don't. There's some really exciting research coming out of Florida, one of the universities in Florida, and they've looked at the effect of massage therapy on women with breast cancer, and they found some really interesting improvements in immune system function for women who are getting regular massage. And so I think there's a lot going on there that probably will continue to be researched in the future, but there's no question that we're beginning to see over the last few years that this is more than just a feel-good thing. Well, feeling good is wonderful, but there's just many, many benefits of massage.
And I think that perhaps the same could be true for the counseling services that you render. My guess is that anytime there is a surgical or a chemotherapy procedure undertaken, for some people, it's a major episode. It's not taken lightly. It could have a major impact. It could even be traumatic in some cases, particularly in the area of breast cancer treatment. You mentioned body image, but just the hurdle associated with healing, I would think that your counseling services really help women not only get over that hurdle, but help with a general sense of well-being that applies to their life in general. But let's talk about the counseling services that you offer.
We offer counseling services particularly related to women's breast cancer diagnosis. Typically, they're relatively short-term counseling, 4 to 6 visits as needed. Sometimes women will check in with our counselor one time and then feel that they're ready. They've been given tools to move forward. Many counselors, ours included, Karen Saverin is our counselor who's a social worker. Many counselors believe that having breast cancer is similar to post-traumatic stress syndrome and many of the signs and symptoms that go along with it. It's certainly not my area of expertise, of course, but being diagnosed with breast cancer or any kind of cancer, it's a huge shock. Many women go into breast cancer having had no past medical history. They've been healthy all their lives and are suddenly told they have breast cancer. Many women are fairly young and have young families. Our patients have ranged from 28 up to 90. But many of our women are in those phases of their 30s and 40s where they're raising young children. So in addition to the shock to themselves and their family, having to deal with raising kids and going through breast cancer treatment yourself can be really difficult. Of course, you mentioned body image and sexuality. That's a very, very important issue that many women struggle with. Helping them to feel better physically, getting back to their usual activities and back to the gym and back exercising can help that. But we work hand in hand definitely with our counselor to help women address those issues. We will often, at least once a year, if not more, have education programs about specifically body image and sexuality, where women can come in and talk about these issues and really find a place of comfort and that they're not alone in trying to deal with these issues.
Now, I want to stress for listeners out there, and I've alluded to this by mentioning early on that you had a highly trained staff of physical therapists and a medical advisory board. And if you go to the website at www.myturningpoint.org and you look at the staff and you look at the medical advisory board, you will see that this is a group of highly skilled biomedical professionals that have expertise in the area of oncology and breast cancer and rehabilitation, physical therapy, counseling. So it's very steeped in conventional biomedical professional treatment. But it sounds to me that you could almost render this service to individuals in other post-operative situations to help them. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if someone began another clinic that was sort of generalized in that way to help people get back on their feet after a major a biomedical procedure. And I'm certain that there must be some counselors that focus on this, but your center seems to be able to offer that support following what can be traumatic episode with breast cancer. And another one of those areas that I see as being very critical, and everyone's learning about the benefits of nutrition. We're all learning how to eat better, and we're learning how to apply better nutritional practices to conditions that have existed. But that's an area where Turning Point helps patients. Tell us a little bit about your nutrition services.
Our nutrition services have been with us for about 8 years, and we do a number of things, both individual, one-on-one visits with Julie Schwartz, who is our dietitian. Julie is an expert in this area, as well as in particular in the area of weight management. She's very well known nationally in that area. One of the things that I mentioned already is the issue of weight management for women going through breast cancer treatment. Many women gain a significant amount of weight during their treatment for a number of reasons. It's multifactorial. So we see, in addition to the surgery and other issues going on at the same time, the issue of body image and sexuality is, again, impacted by this potential weight gain. Julie can help women set up programs to manage weight. But in addition to that, there's also other issues. When women are diagnosed with breast cancer, they're starting to think about how they can eat more healthy. There's also issues related to questions like if they're hormone receptor positive breast cancer. In other words, their breast cancer is sensitive to estrogen. They may be trying to alter their eating habits based on that and avoiding some foods that potentially could be aggravate the issue. The other area is trying to think about antioxidants. There's a lot of research done on foods that are antioxidants, and women are starting to think about, okay, I have breast cancer. What can I do in my life to really try to decrease my risk of recurrence of breast cancer? So Julie can work with women on all those aspects. The other unique part of women going through breast cancer treatment, when they're going through chemotherapy, things may not taste good. They may need to be altering their normal eating habits based on their side effects of chemotherapy. So someone like Julie, who understands all of those side effects of treatment, can really help women get through their journey.
You know, and there may be folks out there listening thinking, oh, of course nutrition is a part of any healing process, recovery process, rehabilitation process, because, as I mentioned, we've become more aware of the value and the role that nutrition plays in maintaining or improving health. But where do you go? And for millions of Americans, they've never really had a professional nutritionist help them in general, much less with a specific healing process. And so I see this as yet another area where you're really distinctly helping someone improve the quality of their life, and possibly beyond a pre-cancer condition, just because of the value of good nutrition. And that's my perspective. Hopefully that doesn't sound like an infomercial for Turning Point, and if you disagree, you can certainly say so. Let's talk about educational programs hand-in-hand with something like nutrition. We're becoming increasingly aware of lifestyle habits that affect us adversely and that may need to be changed following an occurrence of breast cancer and treatment following the diagnosis. Let's touch on the education programs, and we'll be taking a break in a bit, but give us a broad-based overview of the education programs.
We have monthly education programs. They're free of charge to everyone with breast cancer. They don't have to be a Turning Point patient. They range in topics from physical side effects of treatment, which is our topic for April. We do a body image and sexuality topic. Often we'll do an exercise topic. For example, yoga, Pilates, topics that are of interest to women to help them, again, with their journey. They're funded by donors and grants, and as I said, free of charge to women. They're done on a monthly basis.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk just a little bit more about, for example, yoga and Pilates. We're here with Jill Binkley, the Executive Director of Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center, and we'll be back to talk with Jill right after this break.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy. FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Please join us at 4 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Jill Binkley, the Executive Director of Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center. Jill is a trained professional physical therapist and a cancer survivor, and we've been talking about the range of services that Turning Point offers to women primarily that are sort of getting back on track with their lives following chemotherapy and operative procedures related to their breast cancer. You'd mentioned right before the break, you know, yoga and Pilates. I cannot imagine how something like yoga and Pilates couldn't help in the healing process in general with most anything. You know, there are times when strengthening and toning might not be helpful to someone undertaking a rehabilitation regimen, but strengthening, stretching, breathing, how can it not serve you in the healing process? And I think it's great that you offer that as part of the physical therapy.
It absolutely does help in the healing process. And again, it's done in a class environment, so women do get a chance to meet other women and chat and really get a feeling like they're not alone. With the Pilates and yoga classes, we've done some monthly yoga education kinds of programs, but it's the next regular class that is going to be added at Turning Point. One of the I think, unique things about our Pilates program, as I mentioned, is that you've got a physical therapist who understands all the issues, and a class like that can really complement what we're trying to do with a woman on a one-on-one basis in their physical therapy side of things. So they can go very nicely hand in hand.
And, you know, Jill, during the break, I said I was going to let you enumerate this list of areas related to the rehabilitation process, but I want to go through it and then have you come back and then drill down in any one of these areas of restoring arm strength and motion, restoring energy and endurance, decreasing arm swelling, enhancing mood and coping skills, improve nutritional habits, which we've talked about, and decreasing the risk of reoccurrence through exercise, weight management, and lifestyle changes. Tell us about any or all of those areas.
I think one of the areas that is often underutilized, we've talked about, you know, shoulder range of motion and so on, and that's probably fairly common sense when you think about it. One of the areas that women are often not educated in is the importance of exercise, particularly going through chemotherapy and radiation. Lots and lots of research has been done that shows that exercise reduces the fatigue that's associated with chemotherapy. Chemotherapy-related fatigue can be very debilitating. It's one of the most impactful side effects of treatment. And yet, again, almost counterintuitive that if you exercise, you'll decrease your fatigue. So often women, we need to walk with women sort of hand-in-hand, side-by-side as they go through their chemo to have a program that they can really embrace and stick with on days that they're not feeling so well. But there's a lot of positive benefits benefits of exercise. As I said, decreased fatigue, reduced nausea, improved quality of life. And even though there's a lot of research out there about that, very few women are told about that as they embark on their chemotherapy process. So we try to educate women and as I said, walk through their chemotherapy with them and their radiation so that we can be addressing those side effects before they come too significant and really try to either prevent or reduce them.
Joe, when did the fields of physical therapy, lymphedema, and oncology start to come together as a more integrated approach? In just the last couple of years, or has it been a decade of sort of interdisciplinary approaches to breast cancer rehabilitation? I mean, because certainly you would be a pioneer in this area. Is it just the last couple of years?
I am a pioneer and I'm not a pioneer. When I was a student back in the early 80s, we saw women who had had mastectomies, and that was pretty common for them to be referred to physical therapy or to have some interaction with them. It wasn't completely uncommon. Somewhere we've lost that, though, and again, as I said, very, very few women would be referred for this kind of care. There's, you know, programs out there that are sort of spotty in nature. There'll be an exercise program or a lymphedema clinic, but to really have that consistent referral to rehab, I would say that we've been probably talking about it, Turning Point's been talking about it for 10 years. I would say in the last probably 4 or 5 years, we've been talking about it more and more. We were involved in a major project with the American Cancer Society 3 years ago where we brought together expert researchers and clinicians in the field to really try to advocate, look at the research that supports rehabilitation during and after breast cancer treatment, came out with a major document that again, outlines the benefits of rehabilitation and a model of care that includes rehab for all women. But it's these kinds of things are slow in changing. I would say some changes occurred, but there is a lot more to do. I think somewhere like Turning Point is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. I know that from what I've read that you're a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Physical Therapy and a certified lymphedema therapist or lymphedema therapist. How does that play into some of the national advocacy work that you or the Turning Point Center does?
Those are my professional credentials, so I'm bringing together the orthopedic world with my manual therapy, the lymphedema training, but really looking at the woman as a whole, not just lymphedema and not just a shoulder problem. So that's sort of my philosophy coming into Turning Point, which probably is filtered out into having kind of the comprehensive programs that we have, caring for the whole woman. When I realized how few services there were for women nationally, I became involved. Half of our mission really at Turning Point is not just caring for patients in our own clinic, but advocating and promoting nationally and internationally. So, for example, we do a lot of healthcare provider education. We had a national conference that we hosted in Atlanta last fall to educate healthcare providers about women's needs and the role of rehab.
Is this a program that you'll be undertaking every other year?
We are going to, our plan is to do the conference every other year and do an advanced breast cancer rehabilitation course in the off years. We're involved heavily in training other physical therapists and rehab professionals. For example, we often will have rehab professionals come in, do a course of learning with us, and spend a week on site with us. Last year and the last couple of years, we've had a physical therapist from Louisiana, London, England, Ireland, come and learn with us. And the whole goal is that they will then go out and care for women in their own community, in their own location. We can't be everywhere, but we can help by training other rehab professionals to do what we do and take it back to their community.
I want to turn to the area of fundraising and how some of the special events that Turning Point hosts play into fundraising. You had a recent event entitled The Pink Affair. I want to hear about how that went. And also you have an upcoming golf tournament entitled The Tourney for Turning Point on Sunday, August 24th. Tell us about how the Pink Affair went. Tell us about the upcoming golf tournament. And tell us about fundraising in general and how someone might contribute if they want.
We are heavily funded by donors, grants, and fundraising events. The Pink Affair is always in March. It's a great event. It's been going on for about 12 years now, since before we were around, and we became a major beneficiary and then eventually combined forces together. It is a great event. This year it was at the Country Club of the South. We had about 200 people, and it's a really fun evening. It's a dinner auction and really increases awareness as well as the funds raised help support our financial assistance program and some of our complementary programs for women. We've also are coming up to our third annual golf tournament in August, as you said. There's information about it on our website. We are always looking for sponsors and golfers. It's at Dunwoody Country Club, and it's been there for the last – this is the third year. I'm not a golfer, but apparently it's a great golf course and a sought-after place to come and golf. Again, the money raised helps our women who can't afford to pay fully or to pay for their care and also our complementary programs. We also have a wide range of donors. Many of our supporters are former patients, so they're putting their money where their mouth is and giving back because we've helped them. And that's very heartwarming to know that our patients support us. We also have a very active board that supports us. We've moved away from just Friends of Jill. We have 12 very active board members who are members of the Atlanta business community. We also have been funded over the years and very heavily supported by Komen Atlanta. They have an upcoming Race for the Cure, which will benefit us fairly directly as a grantee. The Atlanta 2-Day, it's the Journey Walk. We're actually beneficiaries of Walmart Foundation. So we have had some great support over the years from many different grantees and donors.
I want to remind listeners, if they want to learn more about the Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center, you can go to www.myturningpoint.org or just Google Turning Point. Jill, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on to the Business Hour.
Thank you so much for having me. I always welcome the opportunity to spread the word.
I think you undertake really valuable work. You've been listening to the Business Hour here at America's Web Radio. We've had Joe Binkley, the Executive Director of Turning Point Breast Cancer Rehabilitation Center, on the program. We're on Fridays from 10 to 11. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on the radio.